Today's shir is Masechta Shkolim Daf Chof. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, we had discussed situations where meat was found, and it wasn't quite clear what was the status of the meat. Was it kachim? Was it chulim? Etc. And we had also mentioned that there was another factor to take into consideration. And that was that when we look at these types of situations, we have to worry about basishness alman ayim, meat that nobody really knows what is the status of the meat. Nobody knows if that meat, or said even stronger, the meat wasn't under control of a Jew for the entire duration of when we have that meat. And the question is, what is the halachic status of that meat? So says the Gemara, Rav Nochas L'Samon, Rav came to Bavel, Chamsin Mekilim, and he saw that people were being very lenient in this halacha about Bosishness Alam and Ayin. V'chom Aleim, and he said, and he took a very strict approach, and he said that Bosishness Alam and Ayin is always Osir. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Chabanash, there was an individual, Ozel, who went, Boy Meshizga Skufa Bagod Nahara. He wanted to go into the river to wash himself, and he had meat along with him. The inches of Ozelhu, and in his rush to go into the river, he got one of the pieces of meat by the side of the river. Chozer, so when he came back, Boy Mintzaba, he wanted to take the piece of meat. The piece of meat that he had left at the side of the river, he wanted to now take it and be able to eat it. Amalei Rav, and Rav told him, Osloch, that this meat is prohibited to you. The Na Omar, for I say, Hayhi Shatef Nara, we need to be concerned that maybe the piece of meat that you had originally was washed away by the water. And this piece of meat that we have here now may be a piece of nevela meat. It may be a piece of non-kosher meat. That's something that we need to be concerned about. And therefore, I cannot let you use that meat. Similar story. Chabanash, there was an individual, Havmhalach B'shikud D'Toyn Kfur. He was walking in the marketplace, holding ton kupod, holding a piece of meat. Also, dice of a chatrase minay. A bird came and grabbed that piece of meat away from him, and threw it down elsewhere. Chazabai mesivna, and this person found that piece of meat that had been thrown away, and he wanted to take it. Amalei Rav, to which Rav told him, Osloch, you may not take this piece of meat. The no amar, for I say, kivin. The no amar, bosa the nevel havatinus of malkasay. Maybe there was a bird holding a non-kosher piece of meat. The nasva hu achruna, and it switched that non-kosher piece of meat with this piece of meat that was the kosher meat. Another similar story. Ginoi shotaf. Zikin, there were barrels of wine that were swept away by the water. Also of the, and there was a story that came in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Belazar, and do we need to be concerned that these barrels of wine aren't the barrels of wine that were there originally before they were swept away by the water? Omar, and Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yachman Shefkai Katrunim, let's give it to the people who are the owners of those barrels of wine. And they have to be able to determine. If they could determine that these barrels of wine are the exact same barrels of wine that were swept away, they have a simen in these barrels of wine, then I will let them drink it. If I can't determine that they're the same barrels of wine, then even though you think they are the same, the halacha is that I can't let that be used. Says the Gemara, there was a story earthenware barrels, the shtakach beknishta de bule, they were found in a shul. Us of the kamei Rabbi Yirmiyah, and the question came to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Yisrach mekasrayu avdayim. We have to be able to determine that these are the same barrels that were there from beginning. In other words, if you could determine clearly that these are the same barrels, then you could use them. If we can't determine clearly that these are the same barrels, then the barrels can't be used. So our Gemara has just given us a number of examples where we have to be concerned for Basar Shenei Salim and Ayin. And not only has the Gemara discussed all these examples where we're being machmer on Basar Shenei Salim and Ayin, the question is, how far do we have to be concerned about Basar Shenei Salim and Ayin? Rav took a very strong position, and Rav says that as long as if there's any reason to be concerned that this meat that we're looking at is not the meat that was I left originally, or not just the meat, the wine was the same, we have to be machmer. And if we look into Rambam, in Hilchas Macholos Asuras Perek Ches Halacha Yugimel, the Rambam says that if somebody had in his home a pot of meat, and then the meat, for some reason, fell out of the pot, and now he doesn't know meat is meat. He has no way of knowing for sure that those are the same pieces of meat. He can't definitively identify this meat. We have to say that meat, maybe the meat that you had there originally was taken away by an animal or whatever, and this is another piece of meat. And Rambam seemingly is basing his psak on what we learned in our Gemara, that Rav in our Gemara is taking this very strict position regarding Basar Shenei Salim and Ayin under all circumstances. Even if you find the meat, as Rav said in our Gemara, even if you find the meat in the place where you had originally left the meat, Rav is still saying that we have to be machmer and be concerned that maybe that meat that you had left there is not the meat that was there originally. Maybe it's other meat. I saw a tshuva from the Shas Tshuvas Simchas Koin. The Simchas Koin discusses a situation where, unfortunately, somebody had a break-in in his home. And people came in the middle of the night, and they broke into the home, and they stole different types of items from the house. And in their house, there was meat. And the question is, do we need to be concerned that the Ganovim perhaps took that meat? We know that, unfortunately, this house lost its the sense of control, the sense of knowing what's going on, was lost in this house. Obviously, because Ganovim were able to penetrate into the house. So do we have to be concerned what happened when these Ganovim came to the house? And obviously, the issue is, because, again, we're speaking about pieces of meat. Pieces of meat are something that are not easily identifiable. So on one hand, the halacha seems to be that as long as we can't be, Rav is telling us, as long as we can't be 100% certain that the piece of meat that we're looking at is the piece of meat that was there all along, we have to be makel. However, he takes a more lenient approach. And he says that if we have pieces of meat and we left those pieces of meat in a specific place, and we have no reason to believe that this is a different piece of meat, even though, unfortunately, there was a break-in into this house, we have no reason to necessarily believe that the Ganovim came into the house and took off the kosher piece of meat and replaced it with a non-kosher piece of meat. And this is a much more fundamental issue. When I say this is a much more fundamental issue, whenever we're worried about Basar Shenei Salim and Ayin, that the question that we need to discuss is, do we also need to be concerned that if there's no reason to assume or there's nothing to be gained by the person having switched the meat, do we still say that the concept of Basar Shenis Alman Ayin? Or do we only speak about Basar Shenis Alman Ayin in a situation where there's something to be gained? The person who switched the meat would have gained by switching the meat. In other words, if somebody comes and the meat taker wasn't under control, but the person who switched the meat, what would he gain by switching the meat? Are we still concerned for Basar Shenis Alman Ayin or not? That is the halacha question. And it seems that in a case where we don't have any reason to believe that the person who switched the meat had anything to gain by switching that meat, you know, and the meat is still where it was in the original place, and under those circumstances, we could take a more lenient approach to Basar Shenis Alman Ayin. That seems to be the position of most Paiskim. But as we continue discussing this question of Basar Shenis Alman Ayin, so there's a fundamental question that we need to understand. How do we avoid Basar Shenis Alman Ayin? The way we avoid the Shiloh of Basar Shenis Alman Ayin is by having a simen. If there's a simen on the meat that we're working with, then we don't have to be worried about Basar Shenis Alman Ayin, because then we can be confident that this is the meat that we left. Now the question is, what is considered a valid simen to avoid the problem of Basar Shenis Alman Ayin? So the Chasam Sofer, the Shalos Tshuvos Chasam Sofer, Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Tezavov, discusses kashrus symbols. He just says, if you have a kashrus mark on a food, is that considered a valid simen to avoid the problem of Basar Shenis Alman Ayin? So he quotes a machloikis between himself and the Maran Benet. The Maran Benet held that we have to be concerned that maybe that kashrus simen was forged. And unless we could be confident that that kashrus symbol can't be forged, wasn't forced, then the halacha is we have to be concerned that Basar Shenis Alman Ayin. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. The Chasam Sofer says, our Gemara keeps on repeating that as long as we can identify that the meat that, even Rav, who takes the strict approach in our Gemara, as long as we can identify that this is the piece of meat that we left there, we could be lenient. And our Gemara says that if you could see the knots that you had on the barrel of wine, if they're the same type of knot as you had, then we could be lenient. So says the Chasam Sofer, let's think about it. Just like I could have made that knot, somebody else could have made that knot. There's nothing special about the knot that I make that no one else can make. Yet the Gemara says that even Rabbi Yitzchak, now who seems to be following the strict approach of Rav, is going to agree that we could still be lenient as long as he could say that this is a type of knot that is there. And based on this, says the Chasam Sofer, that's why if you have a kashrus symbol on a product, they have a kashrus mark, the halacha is we could be makel. However, it's not as simple as it sounds. Because although a knot is not something that cannot be imitated, a knot is still a unique knot. And I know the knot that I made, the next person doesn't necessarily know that that's the knot that I made, and that's why it's a good symbol. But when we have a kashrus symbol, so that's something that everybody's familiar with a kashrus mark, and if everybody's familiar with a kashrus mark, it's easily reprinted, why is that considered a kashrus symbol? And the Shalos Tshuvos Levushei Mordechai Tlasoi Yoredeya Simen Zayin indeed says that it's not considered a valid kashrus symbol. However, most Paiskim take a lenient approach. The Marit and the Shalos Tshuvos Marit Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Beis, the Masham and the Shalos Tshuvos Masham Chelek Gimel Simen Yud, Menaches Yitzchok, Chelik Beis, Simon, Lamed Hei, many Poskim take the lenient approach. And the basic reason that they take the lenient approach is since it's illegal to use a kashrus symbol where you're not allowed to use the kashrus symbol, so that fact that the person, that somebody who knows that he's using a kashrus symbol that he's not supposed to use is can be prosecuted, can be for fraud, that alone is enough of a reason that it should be considered a valid kashrus symbol, because it creates a mirsis. It creates the fact that I'm not allowed to use a kashrus symbol unless I'm indeed authorized to use that kashrus symbol creates a situation where the person won't use it unless he has permission. However, the Paiskim say we could only rely on that heter in a time and a place where indeed if somebody uses a kashrus symbol without permission, they could end up being prosecuted, they could end up being in trouble. But if you live in a time and a place in a country where doing something like that will not be paid attention to and nobody really will do anything about it, then we can't be lenient based on the fact that he used a kashrus symbol that he wasn't allowed to use. Says the Gemara, Gedi tzli ishtakech basate dugufsa. There was a roasted goat found in the city of Gufsa. V'teruah b'shem shnei devarim. We should really have said that that goat meat is asur, as the Gemara says. They should have said that it's asur b'shem etziah. Somebody found something that doesn't belong to them. We know the halacha and the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia teaches us we have to announce that I found something. The halacha is that we don't have to make announcement. And the other reason is that it's Boshe Shana Salman Ayim. We don't know the status of the meat, and yet the halacha is they were lenient. Mishim Roy Malchad Rachim. If most of the people who travel on that road are religious Jews who only have kosher meat, we could eat that meat. And the Gemara explains itself. Mishim Etziah, there was not a concern that I was taking something that didn't belong to me. The Tani, because the Brisa teaches us Hamatzel Miyad Ari, if there was something in the hands of a lion, Miyad Agayas in the hands of an army, Mishunas Hayom, something that fell into a deep sea, Mishunas Hanor, something that fell into a river, Misrachi Gedoyla, or something that was in a main thoroughfare, Maplachi Gedoyla, or something that was in a major market, Harel Shaloi. In all these situations, I could hold on to it, Neshabal Mishyash Mehen. We could be sure that whoever owned it gave up hope of it because he lost it in such a public place. And therefore, there is no concern that I took something that doesn't belong to me. And on the other hand, because Mishum Roy Mahalcha Tvarchim, and most people who travel on that road are religious Jew, we don't have to be concerned of Shchitas Nachri that maybe this meat is non-kosher. And indeed, says the Gemara, Vishtakim in the base Rebbe. At the end it was found that this meat was from the home of Rebbe, kosher meat. And the Gemara tells us a similar story. Ego the Guvna, there was a piece of cheese, Ishtaka Bapundaka the Levi, that was found in Levi's marketplace. Vitru Mishim Shnei Dvarim, and here too, they allowed the people to eat that cheese, Mishim Etziah, because there was no concern that I was taking something that didn't belong to me, and there was no concern that it wasn't kosher because Mroi Mahalcha Dvarim, that most people who traveled that road were religious Jews. And again, the Gemara explains itself. Mishim Etziah, the Tani, as we just learned, Hamatzel Miaragais, Miarari, Mishunas Hayom, Mishunas Hanor, Misrachi Gedoyla, Meplachi Gedoyla, Harel Shaloi, I could take what I found, Mnesha Baalim Mishashmehem, we could be confident that the Baalim gave up on it. And in terms of the kashrus, we don't have to be concerned. Mishum Shiroi Mahalcha Dvarchim, since most people who traveled on that road were Jewish, we don't have to be concerned that the cheese is not allowed to be eaten because of Gvinas Nokri. And says the Gemara, Vishtakech, and indeed it was discovered, Minde Rebeloza Reb Yossi, that the meat came from the house of Rebeloza Reb Yossi, it was perfectly kosher. Omer Rabmoni Kamei Reb Yossi.
Ramana sat in front of Rabbi Yossi, but non chami rabbanim machrizim. However, I saw rabbanim that even though when they found this type of a situation, as we just said, the halacha does not require that any announcement be made. Normally, if you find something with a simon that could help the person who lost it identify that it was theirs, the halacha is you have to make a achraza, you have to announce that I found something, and if the person who lost it could come and offer a simon, offer a proof that what you found was his, you have to return it. Says the Gemara, I saw Rabbanim that even in this situation where items were found in such public places, where the Gemara says that if something is found in such a public place, we could be sure that the person who lost it was Miyash, still Rabbanim would make Achroza. Amalei, at in Havisim Mashkachas Lo Nesavis. He says, if I would have found something in such a place, I would have taken it. And the fact that we just quoted that the Rabbanan would make a achraza, it was only a midas chassidus. It wasn't something that halacha requires. And he says, Rabbi Yosef told Rabbana, Rabbi Yona Avuch, Rabbi Yona, your father, Loya McCain, did not hold that he should make that achraza should be made on such a situation. Ella, Rabbi Yona would say, Halavai kad neshkach, if we find something, nishkach mepius l'gov, we should find something inside the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash, and when something is found inside the Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash, then I could certainly take it for myself. I feel okay, but says the Gemara, that even though Ramona heard from Rabbi Yossi what we just said, ashkachach, he found something in a public place, and the way we're learning now, if you find something in a public place, you ought to be allowed to keep it. V'loy Nosef, he refused to take it. He refused to keep it without making a achraza. So the question is, here the Gemara is saying that if you find something that came out of the river, the halacha is, you could take it. So the question is that the Rosh discusses, here we're also kept on repeating because we could be confident that the owner was Miyash. So the halacha is, does the halacha require in all the situations that we just discussed that there be yish? Or is even if there wasn't yish, the halacha is that once it was found in a place like a zuta shalyam, the halacha is, the chazal said, the person who finds could keep it. It's actually a machloikis Ramban and Rambam. The Rambam holds that even when it was found in such a place where it's typically, if something falls into the river, nobody's going to be able to find it. You still need to have Yush Babim, Yush. The opinion of the Ramban is that if it was dropped in such a place, then there is no requirement even to have Yush. So I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita in his Sefer Chashuki Chemed has a discussion if something was found in a public place. And the question is, is the right thing to do achraza? Or the halacha is that maybe by doing achraza, you may actually make it worse than better. Why? Because we need to be concerned that maybe whatever was lost by somebody who was asked to watch this item. And the person says, I was watching the item in a proper way, and it got lost. Now, if I find it, so then the person who I was watching, if the item is found, so the person who lost the object could say to the person who was supposed to be watching it, you obviously weren't watching it so well. Why? Because you see that somebody else was able to find it. So sometimes, if the hachraza is not required, maybe doing hachraza is something that not only is not required to be done, but maybe it shouldn't be done. So he says a very interesting point. He says that Reb Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal was very careful that people should think about the repercussions
or whatever I do. And therefore, he says that sometimes making this announcement may have the opposite effect. I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing, and really I may end up doing the wrong thing. And therefore, the halacha is that I should not necessarily, he paskins, I should not necessarily make the announcement. What he says that you should do is you don't want to take something and use something that doesn't belong to you. So what he recommends to do is use it, give it to tzedakah or something like that. In general, he quotes from Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, our Gemara just spoke about how Ramona said that Rabbi Yonah would never make an announcement. If he found something, he would keep it. And he says that Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, whenever he would walk in the street, he said he would keep his head down. As the Gemara, as the halacha is in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says a person is not supposed to walk b'kayma skufa, with a raised head. So here, the person, he would always walk, Rabbi Aaron Leib would always walk with his head down. And one time he's walking that way, and he found whatever amount of money on the, in the street, and he picked up the money, and he said, this is the most kosher money, this is the most honest money I could earn. So he looked at him, he said, you didn't do anything to earn this money. How do you say that this is the most honest money one could earn? So he explained that this is money that, as our Gemara just said, the halacha says I'm allowed to keep. When somebody goes to a job and he earns a salary, we have to be 100% confident that you really do what you were supposed to do to earn that money. Did you work as best as you could? Did you not waste any time, etc., etc.? But when somebody finds money in the street, that in a situation as the Gemara we just discussed speaks about, that it's a situation where the halacha says you're allowed to keep the money. So the halacha is that that's the most honest money you could keep, because it's the money that the Chazal said you could keep. And he said the same thing is if somebody is a shatchan, if somebody is a matchmaker helping Jewish people get married. So here too, it's money that the halacha tells you you're allowed to keep, and such money is the most honest money one could earn. Says the Mishnah, Behemish and Nimtzus Yerushalayim, Vav Migdal Eder. There was an animal that was found around the area of Yerushalayim, up to the distance of Migdal Eder, and in that distance, Ukmidos L'chol Ruach, in that distance, every direction, the halacha is Zecharim. If you found male animals, those animals should be assumed that they are carbon oila, because the carbon oila, as we've been learning, could only come from a male. The kavis, if they're females, lezivchei shlamim, we assume to zivchei shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer continues the Mishnah, haroi lepsachim, any animal that could be used for carbon pesach, if it's a healthy male with sheep or goat that's less than a year old, we should assume was a designated for carbon pesach. However, that's only if you found that animal koidim l'regel shloshim yom, within 30 days of yontif. So I saw that the place he asks, we just learned in our previous year that the halacha discussed all sorts of such as situations, all sorts of rules that we learned in our previous year, what to do when you have a suffix. We discussed this karev, we look at what's closer, we look at roiv. So why are all of these considerations that we discussed in our previous year not mentioned in this Mishnah? So the Paiskim say that as much as we learned, they say a very important point, as much as we learned in the previous year that all of these, that there are different rules to follow when we have a suffix, the first rule to follow whenever we have a suffix is to look as what makes sense. So like we just learned, if it's before Pesach, and as we learned Masechet Pesachim, everybody has to bring a Karm Pesach. And since everybody has to bring a Karm Pesach, we could assume that this animal is a Karm Pesach. As much as the other rules that we found in yesterday's shir, this rule supersedes all those other rules. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin
Daf Memhei Amidbei, Nunhei Amidbeis, discussing this Gemara, says actually if somebody finds a male animal, he should bring three karbonos. One should be a karbon oila, because as we just said, he should bring a karbon shlomim, because the halach is that a karbon shlomim may also be brought from a zachar, and he should also bring a karbon taimda. So the Gemara asks, why are you only saying three karbonos? Why don't we say that it's a karbon asham? So the Gemara answers that the halacha is that a karbon asham has to be a two-year-old animal. And as we just discussed, the animal that we found here was less than a year old. So ask the Gemara, but as much as a regular karbon asham is supposed to be a two-year-old animal, an asham mitzayra and asham nazir is supposed to be a one-year-old animal. So ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned that the animal we found is an asham mitzayra or asham nazir? So the Gemara answers that asham mitzayra and asham nazir are highly unusual, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. Very much in line with what we just said. As much as the halacha tells us all the concerns we have to have and all the rules that we have to follow, it doesn't change the reality that if we also have to think about the practical. The Rambam says that not only do we have to be concerned that it's a carbon taida, but we know that when one brings a carbon taida, he has to bring along with the carbon taida 40 chalas. And therefore, says the Rambam, in such a situation, not only will he have to bring an animal as a carbon taida, he has to bring the 40 chalas. But as the achroinim, the halacha is that emavin kachnal beis apsol. And since we don't know for sure what this is, how can we bring chalas and then not be able to eat them? So the Rishonim answer that again, that the Rambam's opinion is going to be where we don't have, where is that halacha of Eim Mavin Kachnal Beis Apsol? We're not allowed to create such a situation. But here we didn't create that situation. We're faced with situation. The halacha is that we could be more lenient. So the Mishnah just said that if the animal that was found is within 30 days of Pesach, and it's a kind of animal that can be used for Karban Pesach, Haroi L'Psochim Psochim. So the Tosfos Yontif points out that normally the halacha is, as we learn in Masechta Baba Metzia, that if I find something, I should hold on to it. Maybe the owner will come. However, why over here shouldn't I do that? So he says that on one hand, if I hold on to the animal, I'm going to have to keep on taking care of that animal. And then the owner who's going to come is going to have to pay me back for everything that I did in feeding the animal and taking care of the animal. And that represents a loss. And since it represents a loss, it's better that I should use it. Moreover, since we need to be concerned that it's kachim, and the halach is, as we learned and will learn, healthy kachim animals may not be sold. So the only option available to me is to bring it for a carbon. I asked the Tiferes Yisrael, maybe hold on to it and assume, and even if it's a Karban Pesach, the owner will bring it after Pesach as a Karban Shlomim. So the Tiferes Yisrael says that the owner is really not anxious to bring it as a Karban Shlomim. Because the halacha is that a Karban Pesach, the entire animal is given to the owners to eat. Of course, he can't leave nicer. Of course, as we learned in Masechta Pesachim, there are very specific rules how the animal may be eaten, but it can be eaten entirely. But Karban Shlomim, the chaz of a shaykh, have to be given to the kayin, and therefore the owner is not interested in giving it to the owner. The Bar Tanura says, so use it, so the person who found it should use it for Karban Pesach, and since if you use for Karban Pesach, the halacha is that if the owner shows up, I'll pay him whatever it was worth, and he'll go buy another animal for Karban Pesach. However, the Sefer HaMatna asks a question. We learned many times in Masechta Pesachim that if you had a group that joined together to bring a Karban Pesach, and then that entire group disbanded, we learned in the Gemara that members of the group can leave, come and go, but as long as one of the original members are there, then the carbon is kosher. But if none of the animals
none of the animal's original group members are there, then the carbon becomes disqualified. So ask the Makna, why should we not be concerned, ask the Makna, that maybe that I'm taking this animal now for Karban Pesach, and all the original owners are gone. And if all the original owners are gone, the carbon becomes disqualified. So that Sefer Makna says a very interesting teretz. He says, when is there a halacha that if all of the owners of a carbon, of the Karban Pesach left, and there's nobody left from the original group, the carbon becomes disqualified? He says, that's only in a situation where the carbon was magdish. They were actually magdish the carbon. But if they just designated an animal as a carbon, but they weren't magdish it, that halacha doesn't apply. So says the Makna, even though people would typically designate animals for Karban Pesach within, as our Mishnah just said, within 30 days of Yontif, they weren't magdish that animal until right before Yontif. And since they weren't magdish the animal until right before Yontif, we need not be concerned that this animal is hegdish and that if none of the owners are left, it can't be used as a Karban Pesach. Says the Gemara, B'shoina Hayu, originally the rule was that if somebody found an animal, so we're learning now, if you find an animal, you bring that animal as your own carbon. And we know when you bring a carbon, you have to bring the sochem. Now, the sochem costs money. And originally, they used to force memashkinin as metzeah achim revi nesochah. They used to force the person to bring the sochem. So the people who found these animals would not want to bring these animals for a carbon, or brachim, that they would run away. So that's when they made a rule that the nesachim come from the tzibur, and you don't have to be worried. So the question is, why should I indeed have to bring the nesachim on a carbon that I didn't designate? So the answer that the Sefer HaRefraim I saw explains, that if I'm going to bring the carbon, I'm going to get credit for the carbon. And since I'm going to get credit for the carbon, I can't get credit for the carbon unless I bring the nesachim. As the Brisker Rav explains, the chiv to bring the nesachim with a carbon is not a chiv on the owner of the carbon that I should be able to say over here, well, I'm not the owner of the carbon. The chiv of bringing the nesachim is with every carbon, the nesachim need to be brought. And therefore, if I'm the one that's bringing this carbon, I have to bring the nesachim as well. Says the Mishnah, Amar Rav Shimon, Shiva Dvar Meskinu Bezdin, there were seven rules that Bezdin established. This was one of them. One is that if I find the animal, I have to bring as a carbon, but the tzibur will give me the nesachim. Next was, Nachri Shishach Allah Sum of Din Siyam. If a Nachri sent his carbon oil from Din Siyam, Vishalchimah nesachim, and he sends along nesachim as the halacha requires, Kravim Shalai, we use those nesachim. Mimlav, if not, Kravim Shal Tzibur, we use the tzibur funds to prevent to provide the nesachim. Ger shemes, another halacha, if a ger passes away, v'niach svachim, and he left over kabonis. So ger is the only Jew that could be an individual who has no yarshim. So the halacha is ger shemes, a ger passes away, and he didn't leave over any yarshim, v'niach svachim, im yesh lo nesachim, if he has nesachim, Kravim Shaloi, that if he already had been magdish nesachim, those nesachim should be used, v'mlav, and if not, Kravim Shal Tzibur. So our Mishnah is clearly teaching us that a Akum could bring Karbonis. The question that I saw that the Chashuki Chembe discusses over here, now that we're learning that we take Karbonis from Akum, there was an individual who went through the war, and there was a Nochri who provided for him during the war. And the question was, now this individual rebuilt his life, and Baruch Hashem, he's been successful, and he's building a shul. And the question is, can he name that shul after the Akum? And the Chashuki Chemet says that just like we learned in our Gemara that we could take a carbon from a Nachri, the similar halacha would be that we could do anything, we could use the name of an Nachri who was so kind
to us, and the halacha is that we could take from him we can name the shul on his name. He brings rayas that there were different shuls and institutions that were named after Akum who weren't even such great Akum. Certainly, Akum, who did such favors for Jews, we should recognize what they did for us. The Mishnah also spoke about a Ger Shemes. It's interesting to point out that the Chashuk Echemed discussing a Ger, we don't have really time to go into all the details, says that the halacha is that even if somebody becomes a Ger, and the halacha is Gershon is Gai Kikotin Shanoi L'Dami, and therefore halachically he's not considered a person who's related to his non-Jewish relatives according to halacha. The halacha is that one should still show respect to his non-Jewish parents. Not only should he must, because the Gemara many times speaks about the concept Shlo Yomru, that people shouldn't say Banu Mekedusha Kala, Mekedusha Chamura Lekedusha Kala. Nochrim are also obligated to respect their parents. And now if he's going to take this approach of Gershon is Gaia Kakotin Shanoi L'dami, he's going to say, well, they're not related to me. And if they're not related to me, I'm not obligated to respect them. And it'll turn out that by becoming Jewish, he took a step down. So not only is he obligated, these Gerim obligated to show respect to their parents, he actually suggests that the halacha is that he could say Kaddish on his parents, even though they weren't Jewish. Says the Mishnah further, every Kohen Gadol has to bring Chavite Kohen Gadol, has to bring a Korban Mincha every day, or Visar flour, Machtzisa Baboyka, Machtzisa Benabai, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Says the Mishnah, the next Tekana was, but tonight, Bezenhu, a Kohen Gadol, Shemes, a Kohen Gadol passed away, Shtemin Chosoy, the Korban Mincha's Chavitim, which he can't bring anymore, Kravim Shemot Sibur. Yudaimer, Michel Yarshim, it has to be brought from the Yarshim. And furthermore, says the Mishnah, Shleima Haisa Kraver. It was bought whole. It was bought, even though, as we just said, the Karm Tamid, the Minchas Chavitim, is normally brought half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Here, they brought it whole. And the Tosfos Yotov explains that was a Tanai Bezdin, that when somebody was appointed for Kohen Gadol, that his assets become obligated to keep on paying for that carbon until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. And the Meches Chinuch points out that this halacha doesn't only apply that if he has children, he has sons, all Yorshim are obligated. And moreover, he says that the halacha is that even if the father didn't leave over any assets, so when the Yorshim are going to have to bring the carbon, they're going to have to use their own money, the halacha doesn't change. The Chazon Ish disagrees. He says that the only time that the Bonim have to bring it are if they're children who have the potential of being the Kohen Gadol. But if he didn't leave over any sons, so obviously he didn't leave over Yorshim who have the potential of being the Kohen Gadol. Or if he didn't leave, or if the children, the sons that he left over are sons that are disqualified from being a Kohen Gadol, then this halacha would not apply. Another rule that they made, Al Melech Vel Eitzim, there were wood, there was salt in the base of Migdash, that the halacha is that the Kohanim Nusumem, they were really designated for Kabbonis, the halacha is that Kohanim could use that for eating Kabbonis, that when they want to salt the Kabbonis or cook the Kabbonis. However, the halacha is only for carbon meat, maybe these salt and wood be used. But let's say the halacha is that all kabbanas should be eaten ala soiva, which we said that it means that you should be eaten when you're satiated. So let's say you're going to bring regular meat to eat that first, that you can't use these salt and wood to cook. Valapara, that the ashes of the paradama, shleimalam ba'afra, that there is no chiyuv me'ila. Valkinim v'psulas, we discussed this in our previous year. A woman is a zava, a yoledes, she has to bring two birds, echel l'chatos v'echel l'oila. The halacha is that, and we found that, and so they used to drop the money, and they used to bring kabonis. And then let's say we found that one of the birds is not good, that she bought Mishal Tzibur, the Tzibur, she replaced it. Because the woman is relying that the carbon is being brought properly. Rabbi Yossi Omer, it wasn't the Tzibur that paid for it. Hamasapik Sakinim, whoever was the one that paid for the birds, whoever had that position in the base of Mikdash, he was also the one, the Masapik Sipsulis. So we learned in our Mishnah that if an animal is found from Yerushalayim, Migdar, Eder, and that distance in every, direction from Yerushalayim, Zecharim, Oilos, the cave is Zichay Shlomim. So the question is, why? You could bring a Zachar as a Karban Shlomim. So why are we so confident, asked the Gemara, that when we find Zecharim, they're certainly Karban Oilos? Says the Gemara, Ravoshi Rabba Omar, that indeed what the Mishnah means to say, Lova B'dov Meim Shani, not that we could bring this actual animal, because we can't be sure that this actual animal is a Karban Oila, and maybe a Karban Shlomim. What he should do is, he should bring money equal to the value of this animal, and say one stack of money, the money that is for the Oila, and one stack of money is for Karban Shlomim. So he should say, if this animal is a carbon oiler, then I'm going to use the money that I designate for carbon oiler, and the other money should be shalvin the dover, or vice versa. Ask the Gemara, but this is a healthy animal. And ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, isn't that loch oimel oidum tzeil mel bekotchim? We just said that you're not allowed to sell a healthy animal. Ella, says the Gemara, hilcha b'acha roiv. We have to follow roiv. In roiv zecharim, in most of the animals that I found are zecharim, oilus. I should use them for carbon oila, and then the kevis should be for shlomim. In roiv and the kevis, so then I should assume the zivchei shlomim. So ask the Gemara, I don't understand what you just said. If ain't a shlom b'am and a zecharim and a kevis, why is the fact that there's zecharim clearly an indication that they're carbon oila? Maybe they're carbon shlomim. You could bring a carbon shlomim that's a zachar, keitzer oitzer. So what he does is, moitzen l'chulin, wait till the animals become balmum. And after we wait till they become a balmum, we sell them, and we take that money, v'chayzer oitzer oitzer oilus. We buy two animals, and we make, again, the condition as we just said. Om Rav Zeira said that even though normally the halacha is we can't sell a healthy kachim animal, here, because of the unique circumstances, Chazal were lenient. K'maydat amatamon, t'nai bezin al moishe shikuvul oilis. Just like we found that there's a t'nai bezin that any extra money should be brought for kamen oila, kain at mar of hocha, so too the halacha is here, t'nai bezin, there's a t'nai bezin al oivdo shikuvul oilis. Omalei Rabbi Yossi l'Rabbi Yaakov Acha, ain't that mazed? How could you take an animal which is possibly a carbon oila, a carbon shlomim, and just transfer it deliberately to be a carbon oila? Omer says the Gemara, Mikimichu Tanai Bezdin, if this is a Tanai Bezdin, then it's not considered, ain't that mazed? It's not considered I did something wrong. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Ada An Taman, when I was still in Bavel, before that I came to Tzisrael, Shemas Kol Rabbi Yehuda, Shaul Shmuel, I saw him asking Shmuel, Hifra Shikla Emes, what's the halacha of somebody designated money for Machzor Shekel, and then he passed away? The halacha is that money Yiplu Nadova. Why? Because like we're learning in our Shir, and that's what I saw the Mefarshim explain, that the halacha is that what the Gemara is saying here is that there's a Tanai Bezdin. And here too, there's such a Tanai Bezdin that the halacha is that the money that somebody designated for Machzor Shekel, if he passed away, so he doesn't need the carbon tzibur. And therefore, he doesn't need the carbon tzibur. It should be used, hefer shikla meis yiplu nadova. So as we said when we learned the Mishnah, the Torah Kedosh tells us that the Kohen Gadol should bring every day a miches chavitim, divide the flour half in the morning and half in the afternoon. Ask the Gemara, Moshe is serious eifish loy. If the Kohen Gadol designated money for the carbon milchus chavitin. And he designated more money than he needed. What is done with that extra money? And as we said in our previous year, the Brisker Rav asks, why not use this for tomorrow? So he says that there's a rule that called davish b'chayva, anything that we're obligated to do, ain't about element of chulin. We could only use chulin funds. And since, as we just said, the Torah, the Kohen Gadol has a daily obligation to bring the Michas Chavitin, money that was designated yesterday can't be used to fulfill that obligation. A serious Eifah Kohen Gadol. So as we said, the Kohen Gadol brings every day in a serious Eifah. Ask the Gemara exactly what was the procedure. Rabbi Yochanan, we divide that as sorin, and then v'achkach makachoy, we are makadish each half separately in a klisharis. Hashem melokish amar makachoy, we take the entire sorin, put it into the klisharis, and that's how it becomes kodesh, v'achkach choytzoy soy, and then divide it. Says the Gemara, masniso, pligal Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah Masechta Menachos, daf nun on the base, seems to be arguing Rabbi Yochanan, because the Mishnah there says, "Koin shehevi machza shachrus umeis." If the coin brought half in the morning and then he passed away, uminu koin achatakdav, and then they appointed another koin, layovi koin, that the second koin shouldn't bring a chatzi sarmi beisoy, or he shouldn't take the other half of the first koin. He has to bring an entire sarin and divide it. Makrav machza, bring half. Machza ever and half should get lost. So if the other half of the first coin godl's machza shekel, we understand he made it kaddish already. And once he made it kaddish, the halach is, and he can't bring it. Unfortunately, he died. The halach is it should be destroyed. But the second coin, let's understand, he's bringing this isorin. And if Rabbi Yochanan is correct, we only magdish half. If we're only magdish half, why should the other half that never became kaddish be destroyed? Says the Gemara, Poslo, Rabbi Yochanan is going to respond, it doesn't make a difference if you were magdish it or not. Shekein afilu mos, even if you just had the money, there's a special rule, yechleichol yam ha-melech. Says the Gemara, masnisa, but if we continue learning that Mishnah Masechta Menachos, Pligi or Shimon Lakish, we see that that Mishnah disagrees with Shimon Lakish. Because the Mishnah says, Nimtzu Shnei, in that case, where there were two kind godlers in one day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, we have a scenario of Nimtzu Shnei Chatzi Kerevim, Shnei Chatzi Avudim. Two half of the Michas Chavitim are being brought, and two halves are being left. V'tanei lo. And the Bryson in explaining that Mishnah says, Mechza Rishon, half of the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, and Mechza Sheni. We have to wait then until we have, as we discussed in our previous year, Tubitz Rosin, either they become nicer or they become spoiled, and then Yetzel Beis Esroyans. But if the halacha is that they will become Kaddosh already, so then if they can't be used, then there's no requirement for Ibitzura, says the Gemara. So why is Rav Shimon Malakish says that they're ready kaddosh, why is Ibitzura required? Paslo, so Rav Shlokish responds, the way to understand it is like Rav Shmuel, Dami is Soren Mekadosh. You don't need to have a special klisharis. As soon as they took the Soren of flour, the halacha is that they become kaddosh, and that's why, even though there is no Kedushas Aguf, that's why the needs Ibitzura. When he said he puts it into a keli, it doesn't mean into a special klisharis. So as we said, that a kohen gadol every day has to bring a mechas chaviton, machtzisa beboiko, machtzisa be'erif. Similarly, when a kohen hedyot was inaugurated to be a kohen, the first time he does the avodah, he also has to bring a mechas chaviton. So says the Gemara, kohen miskav tchilal avodah, when a kohen is inaugurated to do the avoda, the halacha is maybe a sarin, a serious eifah shloi. He brings in a serious eifah, and he is the one that's makrev it. Says the Gemara. However, echad kohen gadol ve'echad kohen hedyot sh'avru ad sh'leviv the serious eifah. If there's a kohen gadol or a kohen hedyot who did their avoda without bringing the serious eifah, the avodasim is k'shera. Says the Gemara. Mana by meimer. So he says, wanted to say, What happens if you have a kohen that this is the first day that he's doing the avoda, and it's also boy biyom this manali is kohen gadol. He's also kohen gadol on the first day he does the avoda. Maybe shtayim. He has to bring two michas chavitim. Achas lechinuchoi. One is because today is the first time he's ever doing an avoda. Vechel chayvesayoyim because he's a kohen gadol. The Torah says regarding this minchas chavitim, amachvas v'shem etasa mervechas tevena tefini. Says the Gemara, well, we learned the word tefini b'shas avot tefini. After the tamid shel shachar, that's when we baked and fried the korban minchas chavitim. V'ein b'shachar tefini, but we didn't do it before the tamid shel shachar. Ask the Gemara for taninin. Haven't we learned in the Mishnah Masech the tamid that the first thing that they did every day in the base of Mikdash was do the Trumas Hadashim, taking off some ash from the Mizbeach. And it says that even before they did the Trumas Hadashim, they took the person who's making the Chavitim to prepare their Chavitim, says the Gemara. So we see that they did that before even Trumas Hadashim, and certainly before the Karmel Tamid. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Lasas L'Ravucha, Lasas Cham L'Ravucha, they needed hot water, and they prepared the hot water, but not that they actually baked it yet. Tefini, Rabbi Yosef, Rishayim, Rabbi Chanin, Amma, Metagna. First, this carbon should be fried, Vakach, Oifasai, and then it should be baked. Rabbi Ach, Rishayim, Rabbi Chanin, Oifasai, first it's baked, Vakach, Metagna, and then it should be fried. Says the Gemara. Tefina says, the Tanakhama holds that the way to understand Tefina is Tefena no. Nor we know is something that isn't yet completely baked. And the Torah says that when I bake it, it should be something that isn't prepared. That, and therefore, it's a raya that first I fry it and then bake it. Rebbe Emet Hafena no. It should be, when I bake it, it should be in good shape. And if I'm going to fry it first, it's going to be black from the oil that it was fried in. Rebbe Dois Omer Tafena. The Torah says tefena to teach us that you should first bake it, and after we bake it, then we should fry it and then bake it again. Asin in the plaga, the machloikus that we had here is really connected to another machloikus. Man da amet tefena no, the man da amet that says that to offend and nor bake it when it's night, says is following the obviously the opinion. First bake it and then fry it. That we should bake it when it's not completely cooked is obviously following the opinion. Says the Gemara. That's the machloikis how we should prepare this carbon minchas chavitim.